Welcome back to the Garden with Joy and Holly radio show. It's time for question and answer. Your questions are answers. You want to partake in that. In addition to the questions that we currently have come in this week, you can do that. Two different avenues, gardentalkradio@gmail.com. You can send that email over, gardentalkradio@gmail.com. If you have a photograph, you can attach that. That would help our conclusion to your situation much easier. Or if you want to talk to us, you can certainly jam your fingers in your phone and dial us up at 1-800-927-SHOW, 1-800-927-7469, toll free coast to coast.
Proclamation Goods creates cookware for the eco-conscious home chef. Their pans are non-toxic, have a lifetime warranty, and are made in Wisconsin. Their award-winning stainless steel Proclamation Duo cookware set is a 12-inch skillet and a stockpot that doubles as a wok. Best of all, the skillet and stockpot hinge together to form a Dutch oven. It's two pans with the versatility of 10, empowering you to cook more with less. If you care about your health and strive for a more sustainable lifestyle, then Proclamation Goods is for you. Supplies limited, so order yours now at ProclamationGoods.com.
ProclamationGoods.com, that's your destination for cookware that you'll only buy once and you'll never buy again. We had a number of questions come in this week, Holly. We'll start with this one. It's sponsored by Fleet Farm and FleetFarm.com. I am from Southwest Wisconsin, and I have a bunch of lettuce that is coming back from last year. Will it be okay to eat?
Well, hello from southeastern Wisconsin to the Driftless region. Yes, volunteer lettuce is okay to eat. Any plant that comes back from last year that you know what it is.
You got to know what it is.
You got to know what it is.
Well, I think it's don't. Nope. Then
you, no,
nope,
if you
don't.
For sure know that this is, you planted that lettuce and it's lettuce, then by all means, yes. Tomatoes, peppers, ground cherries, lettuce can be eaten, and you have been given free plants.
Yeah, we've had that happen. Well, volunteer tomatoes is very popular in most gardens. We've had it where the lettuce, we went, let it go to seed, and we come up, and it's growing in the garden, in the yard, and everywhere in between. So, and even another, like on the deck, where we have containers, Rootmaker grow bags, you can get yours at rootmaker.com, 15% off at with Radio 22 is coupon code, and it comes up voluntarily, and we don't know where it's come from. We don't know anything, so it's very beneficial to not pull out everything that you see in the garden as it's coming up. At least let it grow a couple of inches to identify it, because you may have some free plants there.
Free plants.
Free plants. Get your free plants. All right. Next question here, Holly. Is the ink and color non-toxic in printed paper for shredding, mulching, and composting purposes?
Yeah, the ink and color is not toxic on printed paper. It's typically made from soy. So
construction paper, whatever it is.
You can use it for your mulch or your compost, or put underneath your garden beds, whatever.
And newspaper the same way. It's a soy-based ink. And you can now, cardboard is a different story. Cardboard is made with glue, toxic glue most likely. And we've used it as mulch. We've used it as a weed barrier. It's your discretion on how toxic that toxicity is in your world. Holly and I feel that of all the things that we've sucked in and ate and drank of toxicity, a little bit of glue going in our soil, probably not that damaging.
Like purple ketchup back in the 90s.
Well, they had green ketchup too.
Right. All right, next question.
What you forgot about the 90s.
Right, so what if you grow short day onions in the winter?
Yes.
When the days are short, double over to keep out the very harsh cold. Anyone tried?
So what they're asking is...
Oh, double cover.
Got double cover, yeah. a greenhouse inside of a greenhouse type of thing. Now, this would probably be a cool little project to do if you had the space and the time. However, and again, what they're asking is, in the northern portions of the United States, you grow long day onions during the summer. Long day, when the sun gets to their 14, 16-hour shining time frame, that's when the plants start to bulb. In the fall, in the south, that's when you start planting in October and you harvest in the spring. If you just plant short day onions in the north in the spring, you're going to get green tops, virtually no bulb. Vice versa, if you grow long day in the south, you're going to get green onions and no bulb. In the middle portions of the United States, Washington, D.C. to St. Louis to Denver to San Francisco, kind of draw that line, give or take where you're at, you'll grow intermittent day or neutral day or midday onions. And that varies based on where you're at, farther north, farther south. So that can be a problem. So he's wanting this individual, it was a guy, was wanting to know if I just double the tent in the greenhouse and add more cover and add the heat, could I grow short day during the winter months? Well, onions grow best between 55 and 75 degrees. Now they take, you know, they got to get them warm. And then once they establish, then they can, you know, handle the temperature a little different. But there's a lot of energy going to be used, Holly, in order to make this happen. Keeping, you know, the furnace going or the wood going or whatever it is to keep that, because doubling up in temperatures in the northern portion of the United States, there are multiple days that are below zero in some regions, months, weeks, negative temperatures. So there's a lot of energy going to be expended in order to keep those plants alive. I just don't think it would be a practical. Just go to the grocery store and buy 5 pounds for however many dollars it is.
Right. Absolutely. No, not.
If you want to try and play around with it, that's great. But if you're thinking that you're going to really change the world of onion production, not so much.
Right. Definitely.
All right. So, Holly here. What is the best way to tell if a glass jar is or can be used for canning?
Well, a lot of the times the jar will say Mason on it, Perfect Mason, something like that. Most of the time, even if you look at the bottom or along the side, if it's not marked, most canning jars are pretty clearly marked. They will say Mason on them. If you aren't sure, I would err on the side of caution. If it seems like something that is a nice, hefty jar that would be good for canning, you can certainly try it. But again, I would just err on the side of caution and make sure that it is clearly a Mason jar.
Not every glass jar is good for canning or safe for canning because
right.
of the what is the glass or the thickness of the glass or both?
It's the thickness of the glass. I think it's pretty obvious. You will see the difference in the thickness of that glass and the quality. They also seem to have a very specific shape to them. Mm-hmm. They have very, like, defined shoulders. If you have, like, an old mayonnaise jar
from the 80s that was glass,
it doesn't have those defined shoulders of the jar.
But you also know when you have talked to people in person and you've seen online where they don't care what the jar is. They'll slap a lid on it and go ahead and process it regardless of what kind of jar it is, which is very dangerous.
Yeah, that can
on multiple levels.
Right. That can be very dangerous. And I don't,
people want you to say it's okay when we had done personal talks.
And I'm not going to do that because I personally do not think it's okay. I'm a safe canner. I buy the book to canner. In many aspects of my life, I don't always necessarily follow the rules. But when it comes to canning and I'm canning food that I want to eat and be safe, I'm going to follow the rules.
And while we're on the topic of canning, Holly, what is a safe time frame from in the jar, sealed, lid sealed, put it on the shelf to I've extended past the I shouldn't eat this any longer or try to eat this.
I would say,
does it matter what's in it in the jar versus not?
I would say use your best discretion in any situation because we had some strawberry jam. So it's 1 year. One year is like for fresh.
Is what the book says.
Is what the book says. Now, does it mean that your spaghetti sauce is going to go immediately bad after 1 year? No. But if it's been a few years, maybe more than 2 years, definitely use that with caution. We had some strawberry jam that after 1 year had some boozy smell to it. So it really depends on what it is.
Well, I remember Mom making grape juice. We had big grape vines, and it went ferment after a couple of years. It turned into a light wine. Now, we didn't drink. We poured it out, but you could smell the booziness that it was just in the jar under the cabinet.
And this is another important reason why you want to store without the rings on, because there's been times where we've gone through our canning stash and we found pasta sauce that had clearly mm-hmm. opened itself and there was a layer of mold at the top. And if we had left that ring on, it may have resealed itself.
Right.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.